T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst, your host. Football on a Saturday morning. It's November. It's 42 degrees. It's serious football weather. NFL Week 9. Morale took a big hit for the Bears fans last week. We're going to get to a lot of that coming up. College football today, not the best schedule of all time and some really good games, but they're early. So you have to get up early for those. We're in November. It's getting chilly. It is a great month for eating and watching football in that order. Coming up in 15 minutes, NBC Sports college football analyst, former NFL USC quarterback Matt Cassel. Remember Matt Cassel? Played at USC, played with Tom Brady, to talk some college ball and his take on fellow Trojan Caleb Williams. We got a lot coming up today. Big show, a lot coming up. But, you know, Halloween was last night. Tyler Butterboss sitting in with me on a Saturday morning. Do you see people in your neighborhood giving out the full-size candy bars? What's the story on that, Tyler?
So I live more like in an apartment complex neighborhood.
Right.
And so not a whole lot of trick-or-treating going on out there. When I was driving down through Logan Square, like where the houses and like those kind of places are, that's where I saw more of the candy being tossed around, but didn't really get a chance to see if there was any huge candy bars. I've heard that they're a little generous this year, though.
One of my neighbors, just two houses away, he's doing pretty well for himself. He went to full-size candy bars this week. Man, that's a statement in the neighborhood. He's now the cool dad. He's giving out the full-size Twix, the full-size Reese's. I may have to catch up. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I grew up in Glenwood, Illinois. Nobody gave out full-size candy bars in Glenwood, Illinois. Let me tell you something. I mean, maybe the Keeling family one year gave out a full-size Twix, and I thought they won the lottery. All right, Halloween, it's over. It's November. The lead in Chicago this week, it's been a really interesting week. Before we get to the Bears, before we get to the NFC North and a lot of football today, it's been a really nice week for sports in Chicago. We talked about this a little bit last week. The Bulls are 5-0. And, you know, you don't want to get too excited too fast. It's like 5-0 is like an NFL team being 2-0 or, you know, the Cubs or the Sox being 6 or 7-0. But it feels really good. They don't have a star player. They have a compiling group that averages like 16 points a game. But 5-0 after five games, they're winning each game by an average of 8.8 points. It feels really good because the criticism of the Bulls was, or is, that they're kind of in no man's land. They don't have superstars, and they're not bad. They're not like an awful team, and they can get the first pick of the draft and get Victor Wembanyama. But now they look above average. They look a little bit threatening. And Matas Bezelis, I absolutely love that kid, man. I think he, in about 2 years, will be an all-star. Maybe next year will be an all-star. I'm going to compare him to Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee. Not apples and oranges. It's apples and oranges. It's not the direct comparison. But if you look at Giannis, his first 3 years, he wasn't an all-star. He was a skinny kid, building up, getting his skills together. And then his fourth year in the league, Giannis blew up. And you know what's happened since then, the past 8 years. But Matas Bouzelis has a little bit of everything. Keep an eye on that. Hat trick for Connor Bedard. You got to love that. World Series has been really great. Dodgers versus Blue Jays. I know no Chicago team is in it, but it's been a great matchup. For us as sports fans, to be able to watch Shohei Ohtani is such a treat. 100 years ago, people watching Babe Ruth probably didn't know what they were watching, probably didn't realize what they were watching. We're watching the modern-day Babe Ruth. This guy is a good pitcher, maybe even above-average pitcher, and an all-time great hitter. And he's doing both simultaneously. If you look at Babe Ruth, by the way, you know, he was a pitcher first, then he went to the Yankees and became mostly a hitter. He only crossed over pitching and hitting for about a year or two. But when he joined the Yankees, here's the thing. They didn't want to pay him two salaries, so they made him just a hitter, not a pitcher. Or else Babe Ruth, who knows what his records would have been. World Series last night, great game. If you didn't watch the ending, really good job by the Dodgers to close that one out. Tonight, game 7. It's actually game 8 if you look at how many innings they played because of the one game the other night. But it'll be like 8 games of World Series games. It's a lot of fun. But you're listening to the Tailgate, 670 The Score. We talk football on this show. So let's get to the Bears' next game. Noon, CBS against the Bengals. The line, the Bears are given 2.5. I wonder if see if that changes with Joe Flacco's status. But Joe Flacco was at the podium the other day, and he didn't say he was playing, but he said he was playing. At this age, what's he going to do? Rest up for next week? He's going to be on the couch 9 weeks from now, back on the couch 9 weeks from now, but expect Joe Flacco to play. This might be one of the tougher games to pick as a Bears analyst, fan, whatever you want to call it. You're just not sure what you're going to get with Cincinnati. They are not a good defense, and that's being kind. But Joe Flacco's really kind of calmed things down on the offensive side and since they lost Joe Burrow in September. It's a hard game to pick. But one thing Joe Flacco is doing is he's targeting the star wide receivers. In his first game as a starter with the Bengals, he targeted Jamar Chase 23 times. That's the most of any receiver in the game of football this year. That's just smart football by Joe Flacco. You have a superstar receiver, get him the ball. Don't make it tough on yourself. Just throw it to him. T. Higgins getting a lot of catches as well. The Bears really need this one to wash the stink of the Ravens game off them. And we're going to get to that in a second. But this is not an easy one at all for the Bears. You may think to yourself, oh, they're favored by 2.5. Joe Flacco's banged up. DeAndre Swift is out. Kyle Manungai, step on up. It's your ball, kid. He may get 25 carries, 25 touches. DJ Moore may be in the backfield for 5 or 6 carries. I'm not joking about that. Bears do not have depth at the running back position when they were healthy, and now they're not healthy. So this is a real tough game to pick. We'll pick it a little bit later. The Bears' last game, the loss to Tyler Huntley and the led Ravens, 30-16. When we were on here last week, we were looking at the Bears' 4-game schedule. We're like, okay, you got Baltimore, Cincinnati, New York, Minnesota. Those are 4 winnable games. Can you go 4-0? Can you go 3-1? 3-1 have been just fine. So let's look at that game, 30-16. We ad nauseum on the score this week, but I want to get to it for a few minutes. The first 2 drives by the Bears, they were cruising. It was Caleb to Rome all day. I think Rome Odunze had 4 or 5 catches in the first quarter. Then they get to the red zone, and they just kind of puckered up. What should have been 7 points became 3. Twice. Field goals are just missed opportunities, especially in the first quarter. Whenever I see a Bears team or any team score 3 points when it should be 7, I'm like, that's going to come back to you. That's going to catch up with you in the second half. And the next few quarters, the Bears offense just kind of stopped. The Ravens took over. The Bears defense was kind of average, banged up in the defensive backfield. The offense, false starts, punts, missed field goals. You can't kick a field goal right now over 55 yards. That's a bad thing for a franchise. And in the fourth quarter, the Bears are down 16-6. Not bad, striking distance. A nice early fourth quarter long TD drive led mostly by Swift. Now you're down 16-13. You got a little bit of momentum. You force a punt. Now you got the ball inside your own 10. And I was like, okay, get a long drive, maybe get 3, get this close. A lot of time left in the fourth quarter. And Caleb Williams forced one across the middle, and this has been talked about all week on the score, to Rome Odunze, who he'd been throwing to the ball to all day, mostly successfully. He had a running back in the flat for an easy check down. Ben Johnson's talked about this. That's the kind of play. You're like, okay, you don't have it, you force it. Now, if that ball was complete, he slid it in between 2 linebackers, you're like, what a great throw by Caleb Williams. It's not the throw, it's the decision. you're in your own under your own 10-yard line. You can't get an interception there. That really changes the game to where it's you're going way uphill. And after that interception, it was just a messy comeback try. More penalties, confusion in the red zone. Really sloppy fourth quarter. It felt, and I hate using this word, Tyler, Eberflusian, the fourth quarter for the Bears.
I know.
I hate to do that, but it just felt messy. And it felt like they weren't sure where they were going. You know, the play at the end of the first half where Caleb Williams doesn't run out of bounds and you don't get the field goal set up in time. Too many things like that in a winnable game. So if you look at this game, it's a loss. The things you got to like about them, there's not a lot. The first quarter drives, awesome. Boom, 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 downfield. You got to close those out. But the bad, and this is one of those things that doesn't appear to be a negative, but it is a negative right now. Caleb and Romo Odunze's partnership. I use that word partnership on purpose. I understand developing a connection to a good receiver. You just don't over lock in. You spread it around for almost the sake of morale or sake of the play call. You know, Romo Odunze, not yet. He's not Jamar Chase. He's a very good young receiver. I think he's tough. He battles for balls. I've liked him in college at Washington. He's not Justin Jefferson. There are other options on this team to get the ball to. There are DJ Moore is still right there, Swift, Loveland, etc. You know, you don't want to lock in on a person. Now, I'm not sure what to make of this one. I'd like to talk to Bears writers, but it feels like Caleb and Romo Odunze are pretty tight. Same draft, coming up together. You see him at social events together, charity events together. I don't know if he's locking in on his guy just because it's his guy or because the plays call for it. It feels like the former, not the latter. And until you have a Jamar Chase, a Randy Moss, where, hey, man, just throw it to him, we're not there yet with Romo Odunze. And that's a kind of partnership with you love, but you also got to say to yourself, hey, spread the ball around. Keep people happy. Go with where the play tells you to go. Go with the best situation. We're going to have Matt Castle on the tailgate in about 15 minutes. And he's going to talk to me about Caleb Williams' development. 6-7 to score. I'm Paul Pabst. Ben Johnson talked about this. He talked about, you know, the messiness in the red zone and, of course, the penalties. Here's Ben Johnson.
You know, I think you see flashes of some explosive plays and some really good things happening. But the penalties to me is what stands out first and foremost. You know, we still have some of the pre-snap issues. There's occasional not getting lined up quite right. There's occasional not getting the motion quite right. And so that stuff it adds up and it hurts us. We get away with it occasionally, but it's just not the way you win in this league. And so I think, I really put it on the leaders there in that locker room to get this ship going the right direction in that regard. Us coaches, we've been pounding that drum now for a while, and we haven't gotten the results we wanted. So it's on the leaders here on this team to get us right.
One thing I like about Ben Johnson is there's not a lot of BS. He kind of gives you the straight statement, and you could take it and do with it. Now, if you want to be a hot taker and say, Ben Johnson calls out the leaders on his team for the red zone penalties, and no, that's not what he did. He just told the fans and the media, this is what happened. It's week 9. We shouldn't have these in week 9. This is not week 3. So I appreciate his honesty. He also doesn't say, all is well, we're going to be fine. No. Again, week 3, you could say, all will be well, we'll clean that up for October. We'll clean it up for November. Now, Caleb Williams in the red zone, really messy. He gets you to the red zone, and you got to get you out of the red zone. Here's a little bit, Caleb.
Penalties and being able to score in the red zone. I think, you know, we get into, you know, those moments, and, you know, we're either not scoring and converting in those moments, and we know, you know, that we can. I mean, we could have been up 14 in those first two, you know, drives we had. I think it was, or first 2 out of 3, or whatever the case may have been, and. You know, that would have, you know, created a bunch of momentum for us. And I think that's how it's been, you know, a good amount, you know, of the year, especially these past two games, been in the red zone a bunch and, you know, not necessarily being able to, you know, punch it in the high red and things like that.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, 3 instead of 7, you just sent yourself for a loss that should have been a win. All right, don't forget, before Chicago takes on Cincinnati, tune in tomorrow from 9 to noon for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show. Right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully, of course. Revolution Brewing. 3340 North Kedzie. I know Revolution Brewing. Good beer. They'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, the instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. I'm Paul Papps. Tyler's in the seat with me today. We're talking sports. We're talking football. 670 to score. What this means the next month for the Bears. Bears at Bengals, we talked about that. Then they host the Giants. Home, Giants, rookie quarterback, Cam Scataboo, the really nice young running back, out, terrible injury. Then you got the Vikings. The Vikings are a bit messy these days. Even their defense can't hold it up. Carson Wentz is injured and out now. Their quarterback situation is spotty. And, you know, then you host the Steelers. Steelers are beatable. Good but beatable. Their defense is not what it used to be. Then you have at the Eagles the day after Thanksgiving. That's some winnable games, but it gets a little tougher with Steelers and Eagles. One thing about the Vikings are having a tough year. You win 13 games last year with Sam Darnold. You also have Daniel Jones on your roster last year, and you let Sam Darnold go, which I understand. He didn't play that well towards the end of the season, the last game and the playoff game, so they let him go out to Seattle. He's doing very well with Seattle. Then you Daniel Jones. They tried to sign Daniel Jones, re-sign Daniel Jones, but he realized being behind J.J. McCarthy, you're destined to be a backup. He went and backed up with Colts, Richardson, who is hurt and a mess. And look at Daniel Jones' career. It's been completely restarted. That guy, I think, is a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to get a big Baker Mayfield, Tampa Bay-style contract. So the Vikings, they let some good quarterbacks go. They stuck with J.J. McCarthy. Could be a dicey year for them, and they're usually, you know, 12 wins you could pencil them in for. The NFC North, Packers are 5-1-1. They're looking really sharp. The offense looks great. The Lions are 5-2, and, you know, the Lions just do everything right. They just re-signed Aiden Hutchinson, their star young defensive end. Remember he got hurt last year, second pick of the draft. It's been nothing but great for them. He's like a J.J. Watt clone. And they just gave him, I think, a four-year, $180 million contract. And you're like, oh, that's too much for Aiden Hutchinson. Look, this is what the Lions do. They draft players, they realize they're great, and they stick with them. They trade, I'll get to the Jared Goff thing in a second, but they got Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver. Turns out to be a great draft pick, they extend him. They get Penei Sewell, the great offensive lineman out of Oregon. As soon as he's really good, they extend him. They lock him up. They lock up his prime. Aiden Hutchinson, they could wait till the offseason to pay Aiden Hutchinson, but then you got to pay him $10 million more as the price for defensive ends goes up. They got Aiden Hutchinson. The Lions are set. The Lions aren't going anywhere the next 3 or 4 years. They have their best talent under contract, and these contracts just keep going up. The best thing you could have as an NFL team is for your first or second or third round draft pick to completely work out, and you have to give him a second contract. I know it's expensive, but look at the Cowboys. You know, they have Micah Parsons. All he did for them was play good football. And when it came to contract time, they kept kicking the can. He cost more and more, and they let him go. They trade him. Look at the Dallas defense. It's embarrassing. It's top, bottom three in the league. That team would be a playoff team if they had an average defense. But the Lions, they draft Jahmyr Gibbs. People thought it was too high to take a running back that year. They draft Jack Campbell, that linebacker, out of Georgia Tech. He's been a great player for them as well. Everything's worked out for them. And then you go back to the Matt Stafford, Jared Goff trade for the Lions. Matt Stafford wanted out. He wanted another chance, goes to the Rams. Jared Goff's career started really well, played well for the Rams, got them to a Super Bowl, didn't do that well in a Super Bowl, but had a really good run with the Rams. And then he's kind of cooled off a little bit. They get Goff. They surround Jared Goff with a very good offensive line, very good skill position players, and he's rolling. I don't think Jared Goff is a elite quarterback, a super elite quarterback like Mahomes or Josh Allen. I think he's a tick below that. But you take a quarterback like Goff, who's good and seasoned and been around, and you give him a great offensive line and great skill position players and a decent defense, you'll flourish. NFL Week 9, the slate, a lot of fun stuff coming up. The Vikings are at the Lions. Lions are given 9.5. Panthers, Packers. Packers given 13.5 should be no problem. Chargers, Titans. The Titans are a mess. The Patriots are hosting the Falcons. You never know what you're going to get with the Falcons. Try to check out the Patriots if you can. Drake May, the rookie, second-year quarterback, he's playing really well. He's really hitting his stride. I mean, the guy is a top-five MVP candidate right now. The Patriots are 6-2 and could almost be undefeated. 49ers versus the Giants, that's a tough watch. Colts versus the Steelers, Colts favored by 3.5. Steelers got to get it together or they're going to get caught pretty soon. Broncos, Texans, that's pretty fun. Jaguars, Raiders, no thanks. I'd rather sit in a dark room. Saints at the Rams. Rams given 14.5. The big game of the weekend. Chiefs Bills, that's a lot of fun. That's 3:25 Chicago time on CBS on Sunday. And then you have Seahawks Commanders, NBC Sports Sunday night. That's a fun one. Check out Sam Darnold and the Seahawks. No one's talking about them. Jaden Daniels back for the Commanders. They got to get it together. Then Monday Night Football, this is not a great matchup. The Cardinals, which are one of my least admired teams in the league. What a mess. Against the Cowboys and no defense. That's Monday Night Football. All right, a lot coming up today. I'm Paul Papps, the 670 Score. This is the tailgate. We're going to talk some college football, the morale meter, my Bears game prediction. And coming up next, joined by former NFL quarterback Matt Castle, talk college ball, pro ball, and his thoughts on Caleb Williams. That's next. This is the tailgate, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. November is here. What a great month. You know what? Thanksgiving does not get enough due as a holiday. I saw these ads for Christmas decorations and Christmas sales and stuff. Christmas is great. I'm not anti-Christmas in any way, but Thanksgiving is so underrated. Thanksgiving is about eating and watching football, maybe taking a nap, rinse and repeat. There should be two Thanksgivings. I would like to have Thanksgiving again, maybe in April or something like that. All right, 670 The Score. We're going to talk some more Bears, some NFC in just a little bit. College football, not the greatest slate this week. We'll get to that. But the recap from last week, college football, Indiana drops 56 on UCLA. Indiana's rolling. Kurt Cignetti rolling. What a story that is. They went from good story to great story to threatening to win a national title. Long way to go, but Indiana looks great. A&M was really big over LSU last week, which caused LSU coach Brian Kelly to get fired. I'm going to talk about him in a second. Man, I'm going to light him up. Bama rolling, Oregon rolling, Georgia Tech still undefeated, great uniforms. Ole Miss beat Missouri. Lane Kiffin, what a great time to be Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss coach. 6 years ago, he was at Florida Atlantic, and his career was like waffling. And now LSU wants him, Florida wants him, Ole Miss trying to keep him, maybe the pros. What a great position Lane Kiffin is right now. Vandy football held on to beat Missouri. Great ending there. Vandy is Texas today. So today's college football slate starts early. Penn State, Ohio State, 11 a.m. local on Fox. Vandy at Texas, also 11 a.m. local. Notre Dame's got Boston College. I may run up and see that one. The Hoosiers are at Maryland. So not a big slate, but keep an eye on it. So I talked about Brian Kelly, the former Notre Dame coach, now at LSU. Rough season, gets fired. Big buyout, $50-plus million. That's standard procedure. But Brian Kelly, you know, he's had a long career. He went from Cincinnati to Notre Dame. He was 11-1 his last season at Notre Dame. And he decided, I'm going to move on because I need to have a chance to win a national title, a better chance to win a national title with better athletes or whatever his reasoning was, and took the LSU job. You were the Notre Dame head coach, and it was going well. You made a national title game. You were 11-1 in your last season at Notre Dame. Your last name is Kelly, for God's sakes, and you're at Notre Dame. It's like manifest destiny. Sometimes in life, sometimes in sports, you should know when you have it good or even great. You left Notre Dame for LSU for a better chance to win. How did that work out for you? How flawed is that thinking? Being the head coach of Notre Dame, you build your own schedule. You don't have to answer to a commissioner. You don't have to have your schedule made for you by the SEC or the ACC. You don't answer to anybody. All you have to do is win 9-plus games, and the committee will find a way to put you in the college football playoffs if you're the Notre Dame head coach, and you left that. You've got your own football network with NBC. Nobody else has that. There's a Longhorn network, and I know the SEC is all partnered up with ESPN and ABC. NBC and Notre Dame have been partners since like the 1950s. Games are in black and white. Look at Marcus Freeman right now at Notre Dame. He knows how good he's got it. There's not a lot of media around there. He's got control of that town. Good football program. They're going to be in the playoffs just about every year. He answers to nobody. Marcus Freeman's name was thrown out for Penn State. It's going to be thrown out for everything. He's not going anywhere. He's not dumb. Marcus Freeman knows how good he has it. He's going to be the boss of Notre Dame football for, I think, a long time. Likeable guy, winning games. You know, Brian Kelly also was also hard to like on the sidelines, all different places. But I don't know where his coaching career goes from there. It's going to be really ugly for him going forward. I don't think he's going to get that big job again. All right, let's get to it. 670 score. This is the tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. Joining us now on the tailgate, former USC Trojan quarterback, 14 years in the NFL, Patriots, Chiefs, among others. Now he's at NBC Sports College Football Coverage. Matt Cassel joins the tailgate. Matt Cassel, it's great. I want to ask you, Matt, about your fellow Trojan, Caleb Williams, in a bit. But USC football, you played there back in the day. How tough is it now to get used to teams like USC, UCLA, and Oregon being in the Big Ten?
It was pretty wild, honestly, when I signed up for this gig. Number one, the first year they hadn't joined the conference yet. So I'm getting used to Big Ten country, right? All the different rivalries. There's a trophy, it feels like, for every single game in this conference. And right. Then you bring in my second year, you bring in those West Coast teams, which I'm a little bit more familiar with, obviously, being a West Coaster, being part of the Pac-10 back when I played Pac-12, obviously the most recent. But it took a little while to get used to this, but I think that those brand names that you're bringing in from the Pac-12 into the Big Ten, it just created so many more great label matchups, right? The brands, the helmet, and it's created an excitement. And also you see when you go out even to the West Coast, these Big Ten teams travel. And so they travel out to these destinations, whether it's Washington, whether it's Oregon, and it's been a lot of fun to see the integration of those teams into the Big Ten Conference, but I think it's added a lot of value to the conference as well.
I think your travel point is right. Like as a Bears fan, when the Bears would go out to play the old San Diego Chargers, Bears fans would plan that trip for the whole year. And if you're like in Champaign, Illinois, and you find out we're playing USC on the road, let's right. make that our trip. We'll go to Hollywood, we'll go to Disney World, we'll go to Disneyland, all that stuff, and then go to see the USC game.
No doubt about it. I think that's part of the pull there is one, to go see great venues like the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl. Even you go out to Autzen Stadium and Eugene, incredible. Washington's an incredible stadium. So just a destination to go see something different and understand that there actually was and is football played on the West Coast.
Yeah. Now, I want to get to football in a second, but I only been – the first time I went to the USC Coliseum where you played college ball, I was surprised by how bare bones it was. There was food trucks outside and the seats were kind of simple. And there wasn't all the amenities, and I love that. Like I've seen games at Yale, and there's not even bathrooms in that building. Or even Notre Dame didn't have a Jumbotron for years. What did you think of the Coliseum the first time you played there?
You know, it's one of those places that it's a historic place, right? It's iconic in many ways, and you know it from the Olympics and all that stuff. But when you get there and you walk in and you see the sheer size of it, and then also when I was there, just the ability to go in and we're winning so many games. We're there with Pete Carroll in the heyday. We're We had an incredible team, an incredible run during that period. So that place was packed to the brim. And anytime you can pack out the Coliseum, there's nothing quite like it. And then when they light that torch in the fourth quarter, I'll tell you, and I've never had to sit in the seats, really. Yes. So that's been that's probably a benefit to me. I was always walking down that tunnel as part of that. But they've done some renovations to the stadium since I was there, which was quite impressive because honestly, we had them about 3 weeks ago for the Michigan game, and that was the first time since playing there that I had been back to watch a game just wow. because of my tenure in the NFL, went for 14 years, and then I went right into media covering the Patriots and now doing this gig that I hadn't had an opportunity. So this allowed me to get back and see some old teammates and be there, and it was very nostalgic to go back and be on that field once again.
Matt Castle, NBC Sports, covers the Big Ten for the NBC Sports. Let's get to it. You played in the NFL, you played college football, but right now you're doing a lot on the Big Ten. The Indiana Hoosiers, I think last year people said, oh, that's a cute story. That's nice. They're winning games. They snuck into the playoffs. Well, now we're in year two, and they just wiped up Oregon, and they're beating teams, not sliding by teams. Is this a great story or a team that can threaten for the national title?
I believe that now it's put itself into that narrative that they can compete for a national title, especially the way in which they went on the road at Oregon against a team that everybody deemed probably the number one team or the second team in the conference behind Ohio State, and they beat them, and they beat them soundly on the road, and they faced some adversity during that game, but they're able to come back. And it's so interesting because last year you look at Kirk Cicinetti, what he does, and it was a fascinating story. It was that Cinderella story because nobody looked at Indiana as a football program or anybody thought that they can go out and win the way they did. Now, they did have a favorable schedule. There's no doubt about that. But the teams that they played on that schedule, they beat the dog crap out of.
Yeah, they did.
And then the only two teams that they lost to last year was Ohio State. And guess what? They won the national championship. And the runner-up to that, Notre Dame. Those are the only two teams. And then they come out this year, and Kirk Cicinetti does an outstanding job of being able to recruit and bring guys in. A lot of the guys that he brought in the first year was from his previous stop, but now he had some buzz, and he was able to bring those guys. Particularly, the most important part of this whole deal is he brought in Fernando Mendoza from Cal. And I'll tell you, he lived up to every part of the expectation that people had for him coming in there. And I got a chance to meet him when we did the Indiana game earlier in the season. And he's such an impressive young man. Not only just it's how he carries himself, it's the maturity. He's been through the adversities, the ups and downs of the position. But we asked him specifically, why did you come to Indiana? And his younger brother's actually there at Indiana as a backup quarterback. And he said, I went and was, you know, out on the field, and we're throwing in the offseason with my younger brother, and I'm watching his footwork, and then I'm listening to him talk about the game, defensive structure, all these things. And he's like, this kid's progressing further along than I am. That's what I want to be. That's where I want to get to. And that was a big part of him choosing to go to Indiana, was because of the coaching, because he realized there was faults in his game and that in deficiencies that he really wanted to improve, particularly footwork, understanding of defensive structure, getting the ball out, all these different things that he talked about. But it was so impressive, just, again, the way he handled himself. And now he's going out there and proving it to everybody in the country. He's one of the top players in the country.
Yeah, Mendoza's an interesting case because not a lot of people had him on draft boards 4 months ago. Now he's on top of some draft boards for quarterbacks. And I think some other quarterbacks in college football, Arch Manning, he's not coming out till next year. Everyone knows that, or they should know it. You know, Cade Klubnik has cooled off. Nussmeier's cooled off a little bit. And it's like if the draft were right now, it might be Fernando Mendoza, the top 10 draft pick. Could you describe his style more like your style? Drop back, not looking to run all the time, which is kind of becoming a throwback in the NFL.
It is becoming a throwback now. I mean, this guy can flat out sling it. He can make every throw. He's deadly accurate. He's a precision passer. They do a little bit more with the RPO than what you would probably see at the NFL level, but he's more of a pocket passer, but he's got just enough athleticism where he can get outside the pocket, break contain, go pick up a first down with his legs. So he does have that element to his game. But let's be honest, for him, it's going to be inside the pocket. He can do the boots and the movement, but it's the processing ability. It's seeing the defense. It's delivering the ball on time with anticipation and accuracy. So that's the strength of his game. And like I said, there's no throw that this kid can't make.
When you look at Penn State football right now, that they had a rough October. They fired their head coach, James Franklin. What was your instant reaction to that? And then maybe a couple weeks later, do you think they acted too quickly?
Well, I was somewhat surprised. Obviously, this is a team that was a drive away from being in the national championship game last year. And then they earn those expectations going into this year. But what comes along with expectations is that everybody on the outside, there's a belief that just because you did it last year, you're going to come out and do it again. Now, I think part of the issue was with how they started. They had a very weak schedule going into this year, and they're at a conference and they didn't play anybody, but they never really looked like they were in rhythm. And then they went out and they played Oregon and they played them down to the wire, double OT, all those things. Unfortunately, there's the pick there by Drew Aller at the end in double OT. Oregon's a good football team, nothing to hang your head out. But then the chatter really started when they went out and laid an egg against UCLA, a team that hadn't won a game, hadn't had a lead. And that started this cycle. And, you know, I was there at the game when they were losing at third quarter, where they kind of were just – they were very slow on the offense side of the ball. They weren't getting anything going, and the crowd is just booing, yelling. So it had been a long time coming, I think, because just the fan base and the frustration of we can't win the big game, we can't do this. And then they don't win that game against Oregon, and then the next two games they get beat. And I think that finally they had to make a move. I don't think that they had to make a move, but they did. Do I think it was a premature? Absolutely, because you've seen now what has happened with that team since. They've been 0-2 now, 0-4 skid, and it doesn't look good for that team right now, especially because of how talented they are.
Matt Castle, NBC Sports. He played at USC, played over a decade in the NFL. I want to talk a little Bears with you. I know you're more of a college football guy, but you know Caleb Williams from back at USC.
I do.
I loved him in Oklahoma. I loved him in there. I've always thought that his strength and issue is he's almost too physically talented. He can almost do too much, and he doesn't do the mundane. And again, he can make a roll right across his body 30-yard throw almost as good as Patrick Mahomes. But sometimes when I'm, as a layman, watching the sport, go, boy, I wish he would just do a 6-yard out pattern and hit it on second down. I know you're not breaking down Caleb tape, but generally when I'm looking at Caleb, what should I be looking for? What should I be curious about?
Well, I think that's the main thing when you're watching Caleb. You go back to him at USC. He could make the spectacular play anytime he wanted. And sometimes the issue with him was playing within system. And what I mean by that was he bypassed the first open wide receiver in the 5-yard flat because he kind of, I would say, he got bored taking the profit at times. And then he would run around, make the spectacular play 30 yards down the field. Like you said, his physical abilities are up there with anybody in the NFL. He can make every throw. His improvisational skills are incredible. And his instincts in the pocket, just movement. Now, I think the expectation coming into year two, when you sign a guy like Ben Johnson and you see what they did in Detroit Lions, was that they were just going to immediately start season and it was going to go this way. Well, there's still this growing curve that he's on right now, and a part of it is him getting to play in the system, be comfortable in system. And what I mean by that is just going through your reads. If the first guy's open, take him. If he's off, now you reset your feet, go to number two, don't look to run or make the big play, just stay within the system. And then also you see how this offense has been structured, particularly more recently, probably they're a run first offense. What they're trying to do is get to that pound the ball, be effective in the run game, and set up down the field play action passes with some movement and boots outside the pocket. But that also can be challenging for a quarterback, because anytime you're pushing the ball way down the field, your margin for error becomes much smaller. So the misses might look a lot worse than what the misses are. And I'd say the one thing that he's doing really well is, I mean, he's taking care of the football.
Yep.
He's still playing consistent, but I think everybody views him as he needs to be here right now at the top of the NFL. He's not yet, but I think that he's continuing to develop week in and week out.
Yeah, and I think people sometimes have bad memories. If you look at Josh Allen's rookie year, I think he had 10 touchdowns and 11 picks and was a 56% passer. He wasn't Josh Allen yet, but people, when you're the number one pick, Josh wasn't, there's almost no patience. All right, a couple things I want to get you out of here. Give me your Tom Brady story you would tell your grandkids, and is it on the field or off the field?
I've got a bunch of Tom Brady's.
Some you can't say.
Yeah, some I can't say.
I heard he was a great beer drinker back in the day. Ross Tucker, who works at CBS Westwood 1,
100%.
Brady could pound.
Yeah, well, his big thing was he didn't come out and drink all night with the boys.
Yeah.
Maybe I did a few times, right? But he would come out and he'd want to do the chugging contest. And I'll tell you what, the dude could throw it back and he could beat any offensive lineman we had. It was pretty impressive, actually. I was like, wow. And he's super competitive too, right?
Yeah,
he's
shocker.
Like, let's go. Yeah, so. But my favorite story, honestly, was the year we ended up losing the Super Bowl, right? But we were 18-0 in the regular season. But this was week 16. We're at the Giants Stadium, the team that we eventually played in the Super Bowl. And we had already clinched. We're the first seed. We have the bye first round and home field advantage. So the plan was I was going to go in the first quarter, maybe in the second quarter, get the guys some reps, right? Just so they get some reps, and then they were going to go out. Well, they knew the historic meaning of the game itself, going 16-0 in the regular season. So all of a sudden we get out, and this game feels like a playoff atmosphere. And they're going back and forth. They're playing all their stars. We've got our stars in. And it's about the end of the first quarter, and we're switching over. And they were kind of talking to me. I was like, am I going in? Am I not? I'm not hearing any chatter yet. And he comes over the sideline in this intense rage. I wouldn't say it's a rage. It's a competitive rage, right? Right. And he goes, I'm not coming out of this effing game. He tells Josh McDaniels. And you could see everybody down the sideline. They all like heard him and felt him. And from that point on, not one of our starters came out of that game. They played all four quarters. Wow. We ended up winning that game in a dogfight, and it was an incredible game. But then I just remember that because it highlights everything about Tom, right? The game, with all due respect to it, it was really meaningless for us in the season.
It shouldn't matter that much.
Right. You're going to win. Our ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get him some rest and all that. But he gets out there and he understands, look, this is an opportunity for us to do something nobody's ever done since the Dolphins did it. And it was just a spur of the moment. And he already knew the plan was kind of like, hey, you're going to play a quarter or so. But at that moment, everybody looked at him like, I'm not coming out of this effing game. And they're like, let's go. That's and they great. Turned it up. I loved it because it really encapsulated him as a competitor.
Matt, before I let you go, I got to say, I did some research. I have you 1-0 against the Bears in your career, home with the Vikings, overtime 2013 versus Josh McCown. Does that sound right?
That sounds exactly right. 2013, that was actually Christian Ponder had started that game and got hurt. And it was, I think we were either down or tied.
Yeah.
And I came in and I was like, oh, great. We're backed up. I think it was like a third and 10 or something like that. I hit an in cut. I hit a ball down the sideline. We came back. We ended up going up and tying the ball game. It was an incredible ball game, but I do remember that game in particular because it was one of those where I was like, oh man, this is in a great position to come in when you're sitting on the sideline for a while, but you might as well go out there and sling it, you know? So it was a fun time.
We do our research here on the tailgate. Matt Cassel, this weekend, NBC Sports, USC, Nebraska, Big Ten Saturday night coverage, Big Ten College Countdown, 7 p.m. Eastern, Peacock and NBC. Great to have you on the show.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks a lot.
That was a lot of fun having Matt Cassel. Those guys, you know, he started a lot of games in his career, but he backed up a lot of games. The guys who play backup quarterback, they've got some of the best stories. Talk to Chase Daniel. Talk to guys like that. Talk to Dan Orlovsky. All right, coming up next, our Pub and Grub of the Week, 3-and-out, the morale meter, and my Bears prediction. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to mean more than just money.
You're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call it a game, you call it a business. And every time I call it a business, you call it a game.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on 670 The Score, The Tailgate. Paul Pabst here with you for a few more minutes. Early odds coming up. Inside the Clubhouse coming up. A lot of football this weekend. Your boys going up to Boston College to watch Notre Dame. Notre Dame should have no problem there. Hope I didn't jinx it. All right, Tyler, let's get to it. Three questions for me, football questions. I don't know what's coming. Could be any topic. Here you go. First question is what?
All right, you kind of already mentioned Brian Kelly earlier in the show. So out of the schools who have fired their head coaches in college football, which one would you say right now is the most desirable job?
It's still LSU because of the commitment to football at LSU. You think about the state of Louisiana. They had the Saints. LSU is still the biggest team. They don't share it with another college. Like Auburn and Alabama share the state. It's mostly Alabama. Georgia and Georgia Tech, it's mostly Georgia. LSU is LSU. It's still a great job.
All right, switching gears to Bears. Despite seeing some similar numbers on social media from Caleb and Jared Goff's first year under Ben Johnson's system, do you have a level of concern with Caleb's development?
I'd say the only concern is what I said earlier, doing the mundane, doing the boring. He's very, very talented, almost too talented. Sometimes I'm fine with on a second and 10, a out pattern for 6 yards. Now you're at third and four. I said this before. In the fourth quarter, I think he could be fantastic. In a game where he's down at halftime, I think he's fantastic. I just want to see more of the mundane, which is the weirdest thing to talk about. But it reminds me of remember Brett Favre? He would make these spectacular plays, but then he'd give it up. Caleb doesn't do that. He doesn't have a lot of bad picks. I know he had one last week, but he's not known for bad picks. All right, third question.
Last one, going NFL here. With the Dolphins parting ways with their general manager, but they are keeping with Mike McDaniel and expecting to finish out the rest of the season, is there a new favorite head coach for you that could be fired this season?
It's weird. It kind of has happened already. I'm really surprised that the Dolphins are keeping their coach for the rest of the season. Not sure what the mentality is there. I guess you wait till the offseason to open the job up. I don't know. I would say the Titans head coach is in a jam. I don't think Pete Carroll's in a jam. I'm not worried about the Browns coach. I think this is going to be a light year for college firings all over the place. NFL, I think it's not going to be the big year where there's like 6 or 8 openings. All right, nice, Tyler. Way to come correct. All right, couple things before we wrap it up today on the tailgate. How's morale? The Bears fan morale meter right here. We patented on the tailgate, the best 7 a.m. college football, pro football show in all of Chicago and the Chicagoland area. The morale last week was 7.7. After the loss in a winnable game without Lamar Jackson, you're down to 6.8. That should have been a win in the start of winnable games. Now it's like a bit of a reality check and a bit of an unknown going forward. Last week, you felt just really good about the Bears, the winning streak, where you were in the division, everything. And then a sloppy game. You're like, no, not a sloppy game in week 9. So injuries at wide receiver, injuries at defensive back, injuries at running back. It's been a bit of a tough week. My pick for Bears versus Bengals, this is a tough one. I think this is going to be a wake-up call rebound game for the Bears. I was really leaning towards Cincinnati and for Williams. This is going to be a tough one to call, but Joe Flacco is playing, likely playing, not official. The Bears are hurting at defensive back, running back, wide receiver. But after the mess of last week, I think it's going to be a big cleanup. I think it's going to be tight. I'm going 24-23 Bears with the win. That's tailgate for week 9. November is here. Heavy football month. College games are more important. NFL games are bigger. Playoff chances. Love being on with you every week. Talk to you next week. I'm Paul Pabst. For Tyler, this is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.